All right, before you go to Romans 5, go to Exodus 32 for just a second. So sort of a biblical theology. It's not going to be as wild as it was in John last week. I don't know if wild is the word I would use, but it was pretty awesome. So go to Exodus 32, which is the incident of the golden calf, okay? And so I'll kind of explain what we're doing as we get to Exodus 32. I got to be sure I've got the right verse, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So last week we kind of got into a new section of Romans 5. The old section that we've been doing is Romans 5, 1 through 11, which talks about suffering. Because of what Jesus has done, we have so much good news in our suffering because of how he's paid for our sins and all these other things, right? But a natural question from that might be something to the effect of, how does what one person did 2,000 years ago affect me today, or affect anybody today, or at any time? How can that matter, right? And we talked about this concept. Do you guys remember this concept that we discussed a little bit? It's two words. What was that concept that we discussed? You guys remember? Ashton, you remember this? Were you here last week? Maybe? Great. Well, this will be better. It's okay. What do we talk about? This concept of federal headship. Good. Federal headship. Okay. And we talked about kind of this career of Adam. Okay. What is federal headship? You guys remember this? What does that mean? If someone had to explain it. Oh, okay. Now, Ashton. Okay. All right. Go. What is federal headship? Yes, that is exactly right. Federal is Latin for covenant, so it's like a covenant headship. Think David and Goliath, right? David kills Goliath, right? What happens to all the Israelite soldiers? If David wins, then what? Then everybody, yes, that in the Hebrew. Yeah, everybody wins, right? It's that representation theology, right? So last week, we talked about how Jesus is the new and better Adam. And we used a lot of the book of John to see that. I highly recommend going back to the podcast and seeing some of these connections. It's just really, really cool. It just happens over and over and over again. It's everywhere you look. Jesus is a new and better Adam, okay? Last week, in verses 12 through 14 of Romans, we learned about the career of Adam, how he did not go well, okay? This week, phase two, we're going to learn how Adam and Jesus are different, okay? So the mechanics are the same. This representation affects everybody. The mechanics are the same, but what Jesus has done is different and its results are different. Does that make sense? Cool? And that's 15 to 17, okay? And then next week, Brian will close that section out with how what Jesus and Adam do is the same, okay? So the career of Adam was last week. How Jesus and Adam are different is tonight, and how they're the same we'll hit next week. And it can kind of be summed up like this. There's a new-ish hymn that's out. It's called Our Sins, They Are Many. Do you remember the rest of this? What's the next line? Look at you guys. His mercy is more, okay? So our sins, they are many. There's Adam, okay? His mercy is what? What's the end of that? More. So they're the same but different, right? What Jesus has secured is different in that it is better, okay? It's different in that it is better, and this is great news. So Exodus 32, this is the golden calf incident, okay? Boo does not go well. Saw, dude. I wasn't booing when you came. You get it. Speaking of idolatry. All right, so I'm just kidding. Can you imagine? Speaking of calves, yes. Anyway, all right, so in Exodus, it's the golden calf incident. And one day we'll go through, because this story is wild, like the way, just the connections and all these different things. Here's a really cool connection, though. Look at Exodus 32, and towards the very end of the chapter, Israel is in deep trouble, okay? And Moses wants to step in. Think about Adam and Christ in this representation, okay? Moses wants to step in, okay? Mackenzie, are you there in Exodus 32? All right. Can you read Exodus 32, verse 32 and 33, and I'll kind of stop you along the way just a little bit.
But
Okay, right there. Look at what Moses is asking. Okay, Mackenzie, can you read it one more time, just 32? Think about that. What does Moses want to do here? What does Moses want to do here based on what we've been talking about and thinking through? Scott, what does Moses want to do here in 32? Right. Okay. Here comes this headship thing again, right? If they won't be forgiven, blot me out. Which he really means, blot me out instead of who? Instead of them, instead of all of Israel. Let me represent Israel, blot me out. Now listen to 33 and hear what God says. Mackenzie? Just straight to the point. That's Yahweh, right? So he says, no. He says, no. Your sacrifice won't work here. It won't cut it here. I'm not going to do it. Does that make sense? So already we're seeing these different kinds of people trying to step in, but God says no. What's the big reason you think Moses' intercession won't fully work? What's the big reason for Moses that it won't work? What do you think? Yeah, and Moses inherits this sin from who, Ben? Good. Moses gets his sin from Adam, okay? We need someone other than Adam, who has not been corrupted by Adam's sin, which is where you get this idea of the virgin birth, okay? This is part of why this all goes together. Jesus is not from where Adam is from. Therefore, that, through the Holy Spirit, he's prevented from this. So what we're seeing here is Jesus is able to do something that everyone born in Adam is not able. I was going to say humans, but no, that's not it. Yeah, he's definitely human. That's a big deal. All right, so Jesus brings, let's see. Christ is not like Adam. There are differences in what he has done in that they bring more mercy. Jesus, what we're going to see here is Jesus brings more justification than Adam brought condemnation, okay? So they're the same in mechanics. Jesus brings justification, Adam brings condemnation. But they're different in that Jesus brings more justification than Adam brings condemnation. Pause. Does that make sense to everybody? Are we on the same page so far before we jump in here? Cool? Everybody good? All right, let's move in. So go to Romans 5 now. So now we're just going to stick in Romans for a little while. Romans chapter 5, and we'll do 15 through 17 tonight, and then we'll be done. Let's see. Yeah, this will be good. Da-da-da-da. Romans 5, 15. Okay. Let's go. Nora Jane, are you there? Okay. Nora Jane, can you read 15? And we'll we'll kind of go through 15 a couple different times. So go to 15, and I'll stop you a little bit. Okay. Much more. Okay, or how much more? You see that in 15? In 15 and 17, they both say much more or how much more. When talking about Jesus in comparison to Adam, the comparison is always more. Okay, mercy and grace don't just balance out condemnation and sin. They completely outweigh condemnation and sin. Okay, that's how God wants it. What Jesus is doing here is not just balancing, that was way louder than I thought it was going to be. What Jesus is doing here is not just balancing out what Adam has done. It's totally outweighing it, which we'll see a lot of in 16, okay? In Gentle and Lowly, it says, Dane Ortlund says, with justice, God is exacting. With mercy, he is overflowing. And that's exactly right. With justice, God is exacting. With mercy, he is overflowing. And that's where we get this from here in Romans 15. Or excuse me, Romans 5. Okay, Nora Jane, do 15 again. Great, awesome job, Nora Jane. Okay, so the free gift is what like the trespass? Is not like the trespass. Jesus' gift and Adam's trespass. Here's the difference. Difference number one. Adam's deal, according to what Nora Jane just read, Adam's deal is called a what? What does he do? A trespass, okay? Adam's federal headship is rooted in trespass or transgression. Adam's federal headship is rooted in selfishness, okay? That's what you and I inherit from Adam, this selfish act that has been enacted, and now we have inherited this selfishness. We are inward focused before becoming Christians, okay? we are born with this black hole in our hearts that pulls everything towards us, okay? Everything has to be filtered through us, and this is exhausting, pulling everything through yourself all the time. Part of the constant fatigue that you and I feel is this constant desire. You may not even be aware of it. Maybe subconscious is this constant desire to pull every thought and experience in around ourselves, okay? C.S. Lewis's arguably his most famous quote, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is what?" Tell me. Thinking of yourself less. Do you see how that gets rid of the black hole? Does that make sense? Thinking of yourself less. How do you think of yourself less? Okay? If thinking of yourself more is rooted in this black hole in your heart, Ben Ritchie, what has to happen to this black hole in your heart for you to stop thinking about yourself all the time? It has to be what? Think about what a black hole does. It has to be what? Yes, exactly. It has to be filled. Now this constant screaming in your heart has peace. Salvation is you getting saved from your sin, but it's also you getting saved from your what? Say it. Yourself, okay? And this all starts with Adam's selfish trespass. The selfishness of it is handed down to us. But Jesus' federal headship, go back to what Nora Jane just read, Jesus' federal headship is not rooted in a transgression or a trespass. It's rooted in a what? What's the word? In 15? In a what? Tell me. You can say it like out loud if you want to. Mm-mm. Nora Jane, read the first sentence of 15. So Christ's headship is rooted in a what? In a free gift. Now notice the difference here. A gift, okay, Madeline, Richie, is a gift inward facing or outward facing? Is outward faith. Do you see it's the polar opposite here, okay? The reverse of the black hole. Something out of his fullness he gives. And that fullness at salvation is given to us. Think about the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth ends or begins with, do you remember what natural disaster starts at the beginning of the book of Ruth? You remember this? It's a famine, right? And the book of Ruth ends with the reverse, which is a what? Which is a harvest. And in the it's the same way in our lives and throughout the whole Bible. There's a peace that comes not from outward circumstances, but from inward fullness. That's Christianity. Does that make sense? This peace that comes from this black hole in your heart being filled, okay? Adam's trespass is not like Christ's gift. Now, Nora Jane, read the rest of 15. Isn't Paul just so clear and easy to... Okay, so, all right, so this is interesting. According to what we just read, Nora Jane, just read that part of 15 again until I stop you. Okay, right there. Adam's sin, according to what we just read, Adam's sin brought what? Adam's sin brings death, okay? Now, the natural opposite for Paul would be to say, if Adam's sin brought death, Christ's gift brought what? Life. But and that's what he means, but he doesn't say that here, okay? He doesn't say that. What does he say here instead in 15? Nora Jane, just read that second half of 15 again, and then we'll clear it up. So instead of much more has life, he says much more has what? Grace. And the grace does what? What's the verb at the end of 15? abounds, okay? All right, Jesus' free gift brought grace abounding to us. Jesus' federal headship not only stops Adam's, but it abounds over it, okay? It fills it up and fills up the emptiness that Adam's has left. It's not just life to balance out death. It's abounding life that overflows this death, okay? Now, the scars you have received in your life because of what Adam has done are filled up and work backwards to give grace to other people in your life, okay? What has happened here is he hasn't just like taken away the scarring that is left. He has actually filled it up to where it is now a beacon to other people to come get more grace. Does that make sense? So many homeless ministries and churches are led by people who used to be what? Who used to be homeless. So many places that help sex trafficking victims are operated by those who have come out of trafficking. The horrors of their lives are used by God's grace to work backwards and extend more grace to other people. This is this idea of abounding. It doesn't just balance it out. It doesn't just cancel it. It overflows it and flips it around to where it can do more the other way now. Okay? That's what Romans 15 is trying to show. Jesus' headship doesn't cancel out Adam's headship, it overwhelms Adam's headship, okay? God's grace through Jesus' federal headship reverses and renews the effects of Adam's federal headship, okay? God's grace through Jesus' federal headship reverses and renews the effects of Adam's broken federal headship, okay? So that's 15, all right? Before we get into 16, I know it's kind of choppy and topsy-turvy. Does that make sense to you guys? Do you guys have questions about this right now? Bless you. You're welcome. All good? Does this make sense to everybody? We okay? All right. So again, this is how Jesus' headship is better. All right. Let's get into 16 for a second. So in verse 15, Jesus' federal headship is different than Adam's in nature, in what it is. Okay? That's 15. Jesus' federal headship brought justification. Adam's headship brought condemnation. They're different in nature, right? Verse 16 is Jesus' headship is different than Adam's in its result, okay? In its result, okay? and the difference is, okay, let me back up a little bit. So 15, they're different in nature because Adam's was a trespass and Jesus' was a gift. My bad. That's the difference in nature and what they are, okay? Adam's was a trespass and Jesus' was a gift. Now we get to the difference in result, okay? Which is Jesus' gift brought justification and Adam's brought condemnation. See the difference in result? We're going to talk about that, okay? All right, okay. Verse 16 of Romans 5 is one of the weirdest verses and like, I have been banging my head against the wall all week to try to understand what this means. And Brian has looked at my board, and then I erased it all today, and I brought a board in here, and I'm going to write on it in a second. It's not going to be like Oppenheimer, just relax. But like it is going to be, it's really going to be kind of boring. But this is kind of what I've tried to boil it down to. So this is a big deal, okay? Let's do 16, and I may stop and go a little bit. James, read Romans 5, verse 16, and we'll kind of take it in pieces. Pause. So again, the first part is right here. The results are different. It's not like the result of Adam's sin. Does that make sense? The result of Adam's sin is different than what Jesus is bringing through the free gift. Okay, we're on the same page. Now let's get into it. All right, James, do the rest of 16. All right, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Will, you want to give me a second so I can hop over here to the board? No, you'll get the chair right back. You're the man. Okay, let's watch this together. So look at the middle of 16, okay? And we're going to use the board, so sorry if you have to turn around or something. I don't really know. I can't, like, rotate it. We're going to find out. All right, James, do the middle of 16 again. Yeah, that's good. All right, look. So you have, my wife tells me I write like a, quote, serial killer. So I don't, I'm like, how do you know? So if you can't read it, just like ask a friend. I don't know. All right, James, read what you just read one more time. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Romans 5, 16. Okay, so you have the transgression. Okay, transgression leads to judgment. Okay, which leads to, what's that word that we talked about? What does Adam's transgression lead to? Condemnation. Good, good. Condemnation. All right. Now, James, go to the second part of that verse that you haven't quite read yet. You know what I'm talking about? All right. So here's Adam. And how many transgressions does Paul talk about Adam making? One. Okay. Adam's one transgression. Now we're starting to see the difference. Now here comes Christ. Okay. All right, James, read again, and I'll stop you. Just that last part. Okay, how many trespasses? Okay, this word is untold in number, okay? There's not, it doesn't mean like 104, but 105, oh, it's on you. Like, no, it means all. So after an untold number of transgressions, okay? All right, James, go. Good. So, what happens here is you have Adam's, this is the difference between Adam and Christ in 16, okay? You have the one transgression of Adam, which leads to the judgment, which is condemnation. Does that make sense? In Christ's federal headship, you have untold number of transgressions, right? That lead to, that are met by more judgment? No, that are met by this free gift that results in, what's the big word that we're talking about right now? Justification. So this is the difference between Adam and Christ, okay? Adam's one transgression gets met with God's judgment, which leads to condemnation. Christ's federal headship meets you after, because of Christ's federal headship, all the sins that you have committed are met with this free gift of justification. So condemnation takes into account only one sin. Jesus' justification takes into account an untold number of sins in your life, okay? You said what now? None of those were his. Yes, that is exactly right. That is exactly right, Paul. None of them were his. His mercy is literally more. Does that make sense? Literally, who's a math major in here real quick? Wow, just so, that is tough. All right, Harbin, what's more, one or many? Huge, nice. Okay, so Christ, this is what it all comes down to. When it comes to Jesus's headship being better than Adam's, it's not just that theologically it sounds better, it's that forensically it works better, okay? It's not just that theologically it sounds better. Forensically, it works better. Jesus' federal headship is better medicine than Adam's federal disease. Does that make sense? It's better. It does more, okay? And this is massively important, okay? What Jesus has done forensically works to cover more sins than even the judgment that hit Adam's one sin, okay? Does that make sense? This is hugely important with when doing things like sharing the gospel with your friend. When you're sharing the gospel with your friends, your medicine works better than what they have. Does that make sense? There is no need for you to hang your head in shame, or I don't know where Cain's wife came from, or I don't know if the flood was local or global or whatever. The medicine that you have in Christ literally is able to do more than the condemnation they have. It works. It can work. It does work, and it will work. And this is why this is so important, right? When it comes to Jesus' headship being better than Adam's, it's not just that theologically it sounds better, it's that forensically it works better. It does more, okay? Does that make sense? You guys follow that? Any questions on this thus far? I'll sit back down in a second. Kind of like a rush, though, up here. Yeah, go, Lena. Yeah, like, this is where I've been banging my head against the wall all week. This sounds great, right? Our sins there are many, his mercy is more. Hit it again, one more time, you know, and it sounds good. But Paul is showing you literally the chemistry behind why this works. Just as the judgment fits, it naturally fits Adam's one sin. Jesus' free gift and justification fits our many sins. There's no such thing as out-sinning Jesus' grace because his grace needs many sins in order to be considered grace. So the more you, this is why people got so mad at Paul. Because when he says it like that, we grew up in church. So those of us who grew up in church, we know what this sounds like. Paul is saying Jesus' justification fits with your sins just like God's judgment fits with Adam's one transgression. The more you sin, it's like the law of gravity. Okay, here we go. You saw it, right? It will happen. In the same way, when you sin, it will be covered. It will. It fits together like that. That's what I mean, like forensically. Like, it is a law that Jesus established on the cross that for his people, when they sin, it will be covered. It just fits together. And there's something here. Look at 16 one more time. James, read 16 until I stop you. I just think it's so interesting that he starts with the good news. The free gift follows the many trespasses. So it's almost like this. I thought I wasn't going to draw this, but I'm going to leave this. I can't because my doofwad leaders wrote all over it. Okay. Excuse my language. All right. So here we go. It's like this. It's like you have Adam, okay, and his sin brings condemnation, right? His sin brings condemnation. In the middle of our sin, it's not like here and Jesus starts over. Christ on the cross meets that with justification that is better than Adam's condemnation, that is better medicine, that is stronger than what Adam has done. Does that make sense? It works to cover what has happened to you in Adam. Okay, they go together. Can someone hand me my copy of Gentle and Lowly? It's the brown one right there. Listen to this, and then I want that one, but I wrote in this one. Okay, I don't want to write in your book, Will, but thank you for being one. All right, listen to this. And this kind of will tie into more of what you're saying too, Elena. So listen to Gentle and Lowly here. All right, and this is Dane talking about Romans 5:20, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That's 5:20. The guilt and shame of those in Christ is ever outstripped by his abounding grace. When we feel as if our thoughts, words, and deeds are diminishing God's grace towards us, those sins and failures are in fact causing it to surge forward all the more. Let me read this again. When we feel as if our thoughts, words, and deeds are diminishing God's grace towards us, pause. So when we feel like our sins are diminishing God's grace towards us, those sins and failures are in fact causing it to surge forward all the more. So the sins we commit activate a grace in God that comes towards us when we sin. This is why they're asking Paul, well, then we should just keep sinning if grace is going to keep going. And Paul's saying, no. You get it, but you don't get it. Do you see what I'm saying? Listen to this part of Gentle and Lowly, and then I'll be done with this part. We understand this, says Thomas Goodwin, when we consider the hatred a father has against a terrible disease afflicting his child. The father hates the disease while loving the child. Here it is. Indeed, at some level, the presence of the disease draws out his heart to the child all the more. The presence of the disease in the child draws out the father's love in a way that it normally wouldn't. That's what this is. This free gift, this justification, is designed in such a way forensically that it meets your sins and overcomes them every time. The stuff that Jesus is working with is stronger than the stuff that Adam is working with, okay? And this is, again, this is one of those, unfortunately, I just don't have a whole grip on this verse, but that's as close to it as I can get. Does that make sense to you guys? I can go back to the board, but does that make sense? Are we on the same page with this in terms of what Jesus has done, okay? And again, this will, I love, but I just love the quote of, if the son is sick, then the father's heart, the sickness draws the father's heart out to him. That's how God sees you when you fall into pornography again. When you like scream at your parents again. His heart is drawn out to you to help you even more. That abounding love is what Jesus secured on the cross. Does that make sense? You guys follow that? You got to read Gentle and Lowly. It's going to change the game. Okay. All right, questions on this, and then we'll go into 17, and then we'll be done. Yes, I think so. I think he is definitely merciful to people who aren't in Christ, for sure. But this, yeah, this is secured for, which is in 17, actually, Summer. Yeah, we'll talk more about that in just a second. Questions here? We good? Okay. You guys did a good job. I know that was like, okay, Ryan, you're saying the same thing like 38 times. We get it. But like, I'm trying to wrap my mind on that one too. But the big thing here is the difference. Adam's one sin brings condemnation. Jesus' free gift meets our many sins with justification. It's built to handle multiple sins. Does that make sense? You chewing on something? Perfect. No, that's great. That's great. All right, cool. All right, here we go. Let's look at 17 and then we'll be done. Summer, can you read 17? You had so many questions about it, so just kidding, go. I'm JK, can you imagine? Good, so first of all, Summer, just read 17 till I stop you. Right there. Death reigned through what does it say in 17 right there? Death reigned through what? Through that one man, okay? This is federal headship again. Death reigns through one man. Death doesn't just reign because of Adam's sin. Death reigns because of Adam's sin and because we are in Adam. Remember, we talked about this last week. When Adam sinned, we all sinned because we are in Adam and we inherit that. So we fall to this too. And again, I know there are a lot of you here weren't here last week, so I'm gonna skip this real quick. Well, in the garden, I would have done a better. Okay, do you guys remember this? Well, if I were in the garden, I would have done a better job. What's the response to that we talked through last week? If I were in the garden, I would have done a better job. You guys remember? Yeah, go, Ashton. Yes, to say that if you were in the garden, you would have done a better job means that you can choose a better representative than God did. And remember, we're born. How does Adam get here? Adam is what? Made, created, formed, right? Anyway, so, okay, let's go seven, Summer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, go. Thank you. Sure. Come on. Yes, it is. It's very funny, Tyson. It's very funny.
What makes you feel like you would do better than the guy you literally descend from? It's all you know. It's all we know, right, when we're in Adam.
Mm-hmm. When we talked about last week, too, we are condemned in Adam, but we don't just stay condemned in Adam. We continue to get worse because it's not just like, you know, well, like we commit our own sins all you got plenty. Don't worry. Like, it's not just, oh, it's not furlough, just get Adam. Don't worry, you don't. You get, like, you get yours too. And but that's where justification comes in. Justification doesn't just cover Adam's sin in you. It covers your sins in you. Does that make sense? That's why it's so much better. All right, Summer, do 17 again, and you'll just read some more, and it'll be great. Okay, good. So again, we see this, for if death reigns in Adam, how much more? So Christ accomplishes more, but more of what? Okay, look at 17. Because of Adam, what reigns? According to 17, what reigns? Tell me. Death. Now, the natural opposite would be, if in Adam death reigns, what reigns through Christ? But he doesn't say that. This is even better. Who reigns according to 17? Summer, just read the back half of 17 after the Adam stuff. So it's not life who reigns or that reigns. Who reigns? We do. Do you see the difference? It's not this. It's not that death reigns over you and you're passive, and now life reigns over you, but you're passive. In Adam, death reigned. In Christ, you reign, meaning you are now given an agency that you did not have before. Does that make sense? Death reigns over you, okay? But now in Christ, nothing reigns over you. Listen to Tim Keller real quick, and then we'll talk about it. This is another contrast Paul is making between Adam and Jesus. Before, death reigned over us and we were in bondage. Now we are free. The old kingdom of death within which we labored crushed us, but we have not traded one slavery for another. Rather, in Christ's new kingdom, we become kings and queens ourselves. This is part of what we were talking about last week in terms of free will and your will being perverted and broken by sin. You choose to do stuff, but you choose to sin all the time. And because of what Christ has done, you now have an agency. Our wills were enslaved and condemned, but now through Christ, we are free to battle against the lusts in our hearts. The lusts don't taste the same anymore. They've lost their power. It is different than just saying life reigns, because you're no longer just being passively carried along. You have an agency that you didn't have before. This verse says that through Christ's salvation, we are now out of the bondage of our sins. The word redeem means to be set free when someone pays a penalty for you. Redeem doesn't mean cleaned or anything. It means set free. That's what redemption means. So according to verse 17, through Christ's sacrifice, we are given an agency now that we did not have. You can begin to push back against your sins now because of what Jesus has secured for us, okay? We'll look at the last part of 17 in just a second. Does this make sense? Do we have questions on this?
So, like, basically, we can push back now because nothing
no longer reigns over us. Correct. The sins in your life, and Calvin talks about this. I mean, a lot of people do, but like, we'll get there. There are a lot of different ways to look at Romans chapter 7. One of the ways is that it's what's called the old man. Like, they're still in there. They're dead, but they're like they've been dealt the knockout blow, but they're not on the mat yet. Does that make sense? We still live in a broken world that pulls us into things, right? Like, we're not in glorification yet. We're salvation, justification. We're going through sanctification. It's okay if you have no idea what these things mean. We're going through sanctification. Glorification comes after, which is you won't even want to sin anymore, okay? But right now, which is going to be so much litter than it is here, to quote Summer in our Sunday school class, my theologian, it's going to be great. Augustine talks about Adam and Eve are created with the ability to do both. And then once they sin, they can't get out of it. Now through salvation, you have the ability to get out of it now. Not perfection, not total whatever, but you have an agency now that you used to not have. So we'll get into the rest of 17 in just a second. Does this make sense? I know we're in some choppy waters here, and that's okay. Anyway, does that make sense to everybody? Cool. I think, does anyone want to tell him that? Oh, well. Yeah, okay. No, you're fine. I explain it every week, and I didn't do it this week. That's on me. No, no way. We do. That's amazing. Fun fact, my first 3 weeks working here, no one else was here, but every week I went in there to go to the bathroom. And I was like, this is so weird. And our pastor was like, what are you doing? Okay, last one. Look at 17. The end of 17. Summer, just read the back half of 17. Stop. Those who do what? Okay. Ooh, this sounds a little works righteous-y. Okay. So remember, we talked about this last week. First of all, notice at the end of 17 starts with death reigns through the one man, and then at the end, we have life through the one man. You see that copy? Jesus is like Adam. He's just different. But those who receive abundance. We talked about this. You asked me this last week in terms of atonement. It sounds a little universally. When I say universalism, what does that mean? You guys know what this means? Oh, and what is universalism? Everybody gets in, okay? No matter what, everybody gets in. This kind of sounds like that. Adam condemns everybody, but now Christ, everybody's good. Paul specifically talks about that here. This promise belongs to those who receive this promise, who follow Jesus, who, remember, we talked about this all throughout Romans chapter 4 with Abraham, right? Salvation isn't just believing in God's existence. It is what? Trusting his promises. Cute that you both said that. It's trusting his promises, right? It's exactly what it is. You have to trust his promise. In salvation, there is a receiving involved. It's okay to preach that. It's okay to preach that. I beg of you to receive Jesus' salvation. There is nothing wrong with that statement. There's a work that God does that brings our receiving. Because he first loved us is the second half. What's the first half, though? We loved. You still love. Like, remember, we talked about this last week with this war about is it free will? Is it God's work? Through God, you work. Does that make sense? Oh, my gosh. Dallas Willard says this great thing. He talks about in the church today, we're no longer just saved by grace. We are paralyzed by it, meaning we don't do anything. Like, we just think that we're in. And I would argue that that is not what a Christian thinks, because his or her heart has been turned on to the law, right? Grace, there it is. Grace isn't against working. It is against earning. Do you see the difference? Grace isn't against working. Paul says, I worked harder than any of them. Whoa, Paul, you sound a little, like, call Paul an Arminian. You know what I'm saying? Like, whoa, Paul, slow down. But Paul knows, like, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but Christ through me, right? Grace is not opposed to working. It is opposed to earning. James, what's the difference between those two? Why is working good but earning is bad? What's going on there? Yeah, you're there. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's a heart posture. Do you see that? Earning assumes that you can earn it, right? And so receiving is receiving this gift from God. They work together, right? Not that they are at war with one another, but this is the healthy tension between the two in the Christian life, right? This is what we do, right? This is what we do. Good, guys. 15 through 17 is choppy waters, and you guys did a really good job.